bless this reading today, and then we can. I love interaction. I love when people ask questions and we go over. And if you don't understand, I always ask me again because I want to make sure I explain myself correctly. But let's pray and ask the Lord to bless this. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you, Lord and God, for this Sabbath day. We thank you for the people that are with us today, presently, and also the people that are on the internet around the world, and for the people that are not with us today around the world in the body of Messiah. Lord, I pray you'll look down from the kingdom of heaven. Lord and God, you know every one of our hearts. I pray you'll strengthen our hearts, put faith in them. Lord, I pray you're very aware of every one of our thoughts. You see us right now, Lord and God. You're a living God, Lord and God, and you're very aware that what we're doing. Lord, I pray today you'll teach us something new, Lord. Lord, I pray you'll heal us that need those that need healing in their bodies. Give us faith. Give us what we need, Lord, fear, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Lord and God, I pray even today, Lord and God, you'll give us the finances, Lord and God, to get out this gospel, knowing that in the world we live in, Lord and God, it takes so much just to reach a few people. Lord, bless this reading today. Nourish us. Give us the bread, the manna from heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Lord and God, we just praise and thank you, Father God, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Amen. We just give you the glory today, Father God, in the mighty name of your Son, the Messiah, Yeshua. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I was looking at what was studying the Bible. I looked in the year, like, Remnant According to the Election of Grace. That's what I was looking at this morning.
Really?
Yep.
Very good. We have a young man here that was looking at the remnant according to the election of grace.
And, that's what I decided.
And the question is, what is that? Now, the people on the internet, you have to click on the website there. I have it online. Mm-hmm. And for everyone in the room here, if you get, like, after this presentation is done, you can always go to the website. I have it in two different places in case you want to look at it again. And then you can make notes and you can go over stuff. So you might say, well, what is this remnant according to the election of grace? You guys heard of that before, right?
Yes.
Okay, what is that? Now, a lot of people don't understand this verse in John 4:24. Did you know salvation is of the Jews? What that means is salvation comes from the Jews. It isn't coming from the Philistines, the Hittites, or the Perizzites, or the Amorites. Salvation's from the Jews. In other words, Messiah was born through the seed of David. And we'll see that in a moment. That's what that means. Salvation is of the Jews. And the Bible says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And this salvation, this is very important. The reason why I brought up this Peter, which you said you were listening to for hours, I want to make sure this salvation that is of the Jews and this remnant, you'll see right here in 1 Peter 1:9, and it's very important. It says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. In other words, here's Peter, a Jewish brother, right? He's not in a church, right? He's in, it's called Kahal, like we're Kahal Echad B'Mashiach, an assembly. We're in a group of people, and we're just reading scriptures. And Peter's telling everybody, he's saying, now you have to catch this. It's the salvation of which salvation the prophets have inquired, searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Peter's talking to the people there, and of course unto us, this grace, who obviously is the Messiah. Now, listen to this verse. He's telling them, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Messiah, which was in them. The word them is the prophets from the past. So the Spirit of Christ was in the prophets from the past. Do you catch that? So the Spirit of Christ, which is in the prophets of the past, which was in them, did signify that Spirit when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Messiah, of Christ, and the glory that should follow. And the way to understand that is very simple. Take like the prophet Isaiah, all right? In him was the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of Christ, which enabled him to write the book of Isaiah.
Hold on. We lost the sound just for a minute.
Which was which enabled him to write, like, say, if everyone's familiar with Isaiah chapter 53, right? In other words, he didn't just write that of his own accord, but it was the Spirit that was in him, the Spirit of God, and this is the Spirit of Christ, which signified of the grace that should follow, which is the Messiah. And it says, searching what time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. To me, that means a lot, because that means there's always been a Spirit of Christ, a Spirit of God. Because if it was in the Isaiah and Zechariah and Jeremiah, and these men moved and spoke, they spoke only when the Holy Ghost came upon them, which is the Spirit of the Messiah. And that shows again that there's only three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So sometimes it seems a little confusing, because the Spirit of Christ is the same as the Spirit of God, which is also God the Father, which is also the Son. So you might go, wow. But that's, we're talking about something that's beyond us. We're physical. We're just people. But these guys, Peter knew, because he's reading the Tanakh. He doesn't have no Gospels and letters. He's reading Isaiah and thinking, Isaiah is prophesying about the sufferings of Messiah. I mean, Isaiah is like 500 years before Yeshua even showed up. So but Isaiah is saying this whole thing that he's going to bear the sins of everyone, of the sins of Israel. You read Isaiah 53, it's very powerful. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves. In other words, the things that they were saying, they knew it wasn't going to happen to them, because the Messiah didn't show up. It says, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. In other words, it was the Holy Ghost that revealed these things to the prophets, that manifested it to you, that you could say, wow, this is the Messiah, and that the Messiah had to suffer. See, a lot of, in Judaism, they don't like a Messiah that's suffering. Matter of fact, a lot of people don't like a Messiah that suffers. But our Bible talks about a suffering Messiah that would die, but we would have a very good purpose, because he'd raise from the dead, and that's how we'd all have salvation. If you're having a little problem with that, you can just tell everyone to read this link, and we'll just shut this down, because we don't want any distractions, please. Yes. Okay. So it says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Isn't that amazing? Now, this is all because of the Jews. Now, I'm not trying to be, let's see what the word would be. It's not, God's no respect of persons, but I want to let you know everything comes through the Jews, because this is the people that God chose. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, he spake unto the fathers by the prophets. In other words, still again, what I'm bringing across here, it's still the Jews. This talk today is about the remnant according to the election of grace, and that salvation is of the Jews. So I want to make sure people don't ever see these verses. In other words, this is about the fathers by the prophets. He had in the last days. Now, God does a little different thing, because the Messiah showed up. He had in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, and his Son, by whom he made the worlds. Now, so in other words, he isn't just a regular son, because could your son make all the worlds? No, I'm a son. I can't do that. Most sons can't do that. It says, this word of God, who is a son, is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. In other words, he looks just like the Father. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And that's, of course, that's true. For unto which of the angels said he at any time? God never said this to angels, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be my son. God never said that to angels. So we see that again, that the Messiah, the fathers, the prophets, this is such a tight-knit family that God has put together. Now we go to Romans 8, 9. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That's if so be that if the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now I want you to recognize where it says the Spirit of God dwell in you, because I want to make sure you verify what I just said about the Spirit of God is also the same as, now if any have not the Spirit of Messiah, which is the same as God, he is none of his. So follow, in other words, I'm trying to bring across the Messiah and God, it's all the same thing, even though it's worded different. Now, this is a scripture that a lot of church people take totally wrong. They always use this about themselves. They say the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Who is that really? You ever hear that before? Well, a lot of Christians use this about themselves. We're going to find out exactly what we're talking about. In Romans 9, 1 to 3, it says, I say, this is Apostle Paul speaking. He's saying, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Really, why? Now listen to this, dedication. I mean, have you ever thought of doing this to some of your kinsfolk or some of your relations? He said, for I could wish that myself was accursed from Messiah for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. In other words, think of that, how much he loved his brethren, the Jews. He would rather be accursed than to see them lost. And who his brethren are, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption. So they're the ones that were adopted into the family of God. God selected them. And God, you know what he did too? He picked the littlest group of people on the earth. They were just slaves, actually. You know why? Because he said, no flesh will glory in his presence. So he picked the least. He didn't go pick the big countries and the Philistines, and he didn't pick the Amorites and the Perizzites. And he picked these guys that were slaves. Just to make sure you know it's God. No one gets the glory except God. It says, so who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption? Now, here's what we're going to find out. We're going to be talking about, who's this adoption? It's from the Israelites to the Jews, the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the Torah, the law, the service of God, and the promises. This is all to the Jews. And everything that's going on, everything that everyone believes, it's whose are the fathers? It's all from the fathers, of whom concerning the flesh, in other words, from the Jews' lineage, it says Christ came, who is over all. God blessed forever. Amen. Do you follow what I'm saying, everybody? In other words, it all comes from the Jews. In other words, there isn't a Messiah that comes from the French, and there's not one that comes from the African Americans, and there's not one that comes from anybody else. Messiah comes from the Jewish people. Now, we're going to talk about Israelites, to whom pertain it. The first thing we're going to talk about, the adoption. These are the words I want you to maybe write down. We're going to find out these words. And you probably should go back to Romans chapter 9, verse 4 to 5. Okay? Let's see. Actually, verse 4. You should write down adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. And you should write down also, whose are of the fathers, of whom concerning the flesh Messiah came. So in other words, I don't know if you ever thought of these words right there, if you ever had a chance to think about them. These things all pertain to the Jews. In other words, the history and the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all that. And the first thing we're going to talk about is this adoption. What is this adoption? Now, the Jews, they are God's chosen people. God had chosen the people of Israel from all the people of the earth. Now, you might think, well, that's sort of You know, he's picking, why is he just picking them? He made a covenant with them and declared them to be his people, and he to be their God. Out of all the people of the earth, Israel received the adoption as sons. Now you might say, well, where does it say that? Go to Amos chapter 3, verse 2. Listen to what it says. A lot of people never see this. It says, you only, he's talking to the Jews. He goes, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. God didn't even recognize the other people. They were just heathen.
And it's probably also because they're so small, so they couldn't take the glory for it.
They're not getting, no one's getting the glory, right? God chose people that you wouldn't pick, I wouldn't pick. Who'd pick a bunch of slaves? You want to go pick the warriors. You want to go pick the rich. You want to go pick the mighty. He picked a bunch of people that were like looked helpless. But God says, you people, I only known you of all the earth. And because you're supposed to be teaching everybody and being the example, I'm going to punish you for your iniquities. Because the Jews, they were supposed to be the example. Now, to show again that everything is of the Jews and everything comes from God, like most Christians never get this. They always think they're the New Testament church and they're the New Testament is them and the New Testament. I'm sure you heard of that before, right? The New Testament, they're the New Testament. Well, that's because they don't read the prophets. The spirit of the Messiah was in the prophets that prophesied of the glory that's going to come and the sufferings of the Messiah. So it says right here, Jeremiah 31:31, that's a very important verse for you to know. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. Listen to what he says. I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Really? Didn't he make a new covenant with the Protestants? No. There was no Protestants. Did he make a new covenant with the Baptists? No, there was no Baptists. So wait a minute. Who's the new covenant? It says right here, he made it with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And everyone should know this. This new covenant, it says it's going to be not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. So it is new. It's not renewed. Some people are trying to change the word from new to renewed. No. It's a new covenant. It's not going to be according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant they break. God says, although I was a husband unto them. See, God says, I'm married to you. That's pretty deep. We're supposed to be the bride, you know. You may not think of that sometimes. Especially if you're a man, you're not thinking about being a bride. But I mean, we're the body of, supposed to be the body of Messiah. So, now, but this shall be the covenant. So it's not going to be the covenant that he gave to their fathers. It's going to be a new covenant. But this is going to be the covenant that I will make with them, with the house of who? House of Israel. So there is no such thing as this Protestant world making the new covenant that it's theirs. That's made up in dreamland. Anyone who tells you they're the New Testament church, you say, well, you haven't read Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31, 32, 33. Maybe you go read your Bible again. And to prove that, I'll show you, we have a brother Paul in the Bible quotes the same thing. He says, but this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days. The house of Israel, the word Israel, his name is Jacob. God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. This is the house of Israel, which is Judah and Israel. Remember they split? But it is the whole house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Wow, that sounds great. Now, some people think that, well, the Jews, you know, God cut off. There's a whole teaching out there in the Christian world that the Jews had their chance, they cut off, and they're finished. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's because the Protestants never read this. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. Now, he wants everyone to know this, that if those ordinances that we just talked about, God says, depart before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. You guys catch that? In other words, that's not happening, right? So the whole seed of Israel is not going to be lost. And to make sure you get it, he says it twice. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured. Can anyone measure heaven above? And the foundations of the earth searched out beneath. Can anyone do that? They haven't even found some of the parts of the bottom of the ocean yet. Only if this you can do that, I will cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. In other words, the chances of that happening is not happening. So all these Protestants that are going around thinking that Israel is just cut off and they're finished and the church replaced Israel and the church is the new Israel and the church is Ephraim and the church is Joseph and all this nonsense, that's a bunch of nonsense. God is not forsaking them. There's a remnant according to the election of grace we're going to read about. Now, in the book of Hebrews, we have our brother Paul, who is very astute, amazing person. I would love to meet him. He said in verse 8, he says, for finding fault with them, in other words, God found fault with the people, not with the Bible. The fault was with the people because they didn't keep his commandments. He said, behold, now this is Apostle Paul saying the same thing. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. How come nobody that reads the book of Hebrews, how come all these churches that think they're the New Testament church, when he's saying it right here, it's to the house of Israel and the house of Judah, he's quoting Jeremiah 31, right? I mean, verbatim almost. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. I mean, Apostle Paul is quoting Jeremiah, because that's all he has to read. He doesn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He doesn't have the book of Peter, and he doesn't, I mean, you know, he's reading the Tanakh. He's quoting to them, this is what God says. And Paul goes on to say the same thing. He's such astute. He goes, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. So you better join Israel, what I'm getting at is. If you don't join the Israel of God, then you don't have no new covenant. Do you catch that? Because this new covenant was to Israel. So if you're not joining the Israel of God, you just joined some little Protestant church that made up some doctrine. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts and will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever been merciful to people that treated you bad? God's going to be merciful to our unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities. I will remember no more. That's beautiful. In that he said, a new covenant, he had made the first old, because it's not according to the covenant that he made with our fathers. It's now that which decayed and waxed old is ready to vanish away. Yes. Now, in other words, this point again is it's all about being the Israel of God. It's all about being in the lineage of the Jews. It's all about being God's people that he knows. He don't even know anybody of the earth. I always wonder who people are praying to. You know, God says he does not hear the prayer of sinners. Did you know that? God's like this. If you got sin on your soul, you're talking to the ceiling or the wall. It says that in the Bible. He doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. There's people on their knees bleeding, crawling up to this Catholic thing for nothing. God don't hear them. They're not keeping his commandments. Because what is sin? Sin is the transgression of the law. It all goes, the Bible all goes together. That's why you have to read the whole Bible. So you say to yourself, what are we going to do? Are we going to join the Israel of God or are we not? Is everybody online here following me? Everybody following me online? I hope so. Okay. We're going to move on to Galatians. Galatians is a group of people that are in Galatia. So everybody in the room here, I hope that you've joined the Israel of God. And in the very meaning of the word Jew, I hope you become the real Jews. In other words, you acknowledge the God of Israel. You keep his commandments. We're not following Martin Luther, who made up repackaged Catholicism and started his own little Protestant Reformation. That's what all these churches are today. They're just a bunch of New Testament churches, and they throw away 77% of the Bible, which is the whole Bible, and they keep 23% of just the accounts of the Lord's life, which only coincides with the prophecies of the Spirit of Christ which was in them. Yes?
The Bible's kind of like a puzzle. Like, if one piece is missing, you can't figure it all out.
That's right. Okay, we have a young man here said he is correct. He said the Bible is like a puzzle. If you don't have the, you know what it's like? It's like baking a cake. If you don't have the ingredients, you can't bake the cake. You can't. You could wish all day long that the cake's going to come out. But if you don't have the prophecies, what are you basing the Gospels on in the letters? There's nothing to base them on. It's just, that's why most people don't understand them. It just sounds, you know, some of the stuff sounds just made up. Because if you don't know where it comes from. Now, in the book of Galatians, we have Apostle Paul saying, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all," right? In other words, you have a baby from a servant and a baby from the king. They're both babies, right? They don't know the difference, right? That's what that's saying in so many words. In other words, even though he's an heir, he's still a baby. He's not going to be running the show for a while, okay? Okay. But he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father, right? Until it's time for him to take over. Even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world, right? In other words, we were the nations, the people that God didn't even look at. God only knows this group of people, of all the families of the earth. Mm-hmm. Now, so we, when we were children, we were bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of the time was come, in other words, when it was, God has his own times, God sent his Son, the Word of God, and it was made of a woman. A body was prepared, made under the law. This is the law everybody thinks is done away. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. In other words, this is God's family, God's adopting us into his house, his family. And because ye are sons, God had sent forth the Spirit of his Son, which is the Messiah. Remember the Spirit of Christ we read earlier? Into your hearts, crying, Abba, which means Father. And wherefore, it says, wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And of course, if you're a female, you're a daughter. Okay? So you're not a servant anymore. You're a son and a daughter of God. And if a son, then, and you're, I don't know if you think of this, you're an actual heir. I know, you know how, like, this world beats you down and things go cuckoo in your job, and but that's over here. Over the big picture is you're an heir of the kingdom of heaven. You have an inheritance that faded not away. Think of that. You have a mansion somewhere. An heir. You know what an heir is? That's
like a son of the king.
Yeah. You have this inheritance that you probably don't think about during the week because, you know, some people might be picking on you or some people might put you down or who knows, the angry waves of life are beating upon you and you might have this trouble or that trouble or that, but you're an heir. And, you know, I love this. I put down this term because it's three times in the Bible, the Abba Father. It says, for we have not received the spirit of the bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of, it says, the spirit of adoption. And we should all be doing this, crying, Abba Father, because you have a real Father that's in the heavens, for real. And what I love about that, I like saying that so much, like it's for real, because I mean, it's really, I can't even explain it. It's so real. It's more than we are here today. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You know, of course, Yeshua says the same thing. He uses the same words. He says, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. And of course, he wanted the cup that he had to drink. He wanted it to pass from him. But he says, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And that's what we need to have, that attitude in our life. It's not what we will. God might have a different plan, something that maybe we don't like, we don't want to do, something that doesn't fit in our schedule or our lives. But this is what God wants you to do. So that was the adoption. Now we're going to maneuver on into the glory that was given to these people. Okay? God has a plan, and sometimes our plan doesn't match God's plan. The glory of God. Now, the glory was given to these people. What does that mean? Well, the glory, we're going back to the book of Romans, okay, so you want to know where we went. Remember you wrote down those words, the glory and the covenant, and remember that? Okay, now the second category is the glory. The glory of God is in many places in the Scripture. I couldn't put them all down here. We'd be here all day. God met with the people of Israel in the tabernacle. His glory accompanied them. His presence actually went with them. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, in Exodus 33:14. Isn't that nice to know God's presence goes with you? It says, Panai, Yelechu. What was that? Okay. So his presence goes with you and with us. And the glory of the Lord abode upon the Sinai, Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered its 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. So God spoke on the seventh day there. But I'm saying the glory of the Lord is not this thing that they made up in Judaism. They call it the Shekinah glory. Anyone ever hear of that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's I would not use that word, because the Shekinah is used also in Satanism. It's used in witchcraft, the Shekinah glory. It's the feminine portion of God. And I don't know if there's a feminine portion of God, but I don't even want to go there right now. But the word Shekinah, or it's actually Shekinah. It's the glory of God, kavod of Adonai. The glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered its 6 days. And the reason why, I have a whole study on my website, but you might want to look at it. It's called the Shekinah, and it's the feminine presence of God, and it's used in the Kabbalah, and it's used in things that are not right. Okay. Well, we're not going to get into that right now. But this glory of God was everywhere. And if you look up the word glory, if you have your Bible search, you could look up the word glory. The sight of the glory of God was like a devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Exodus 40:34-35, the cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. I mean, could you imagine that? It's beautiful. I mean, God was right with these people that he chosen. Oh. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Could you imagine that? How powerful this is? I mean, it's like, you know, sometimes just reading it is shocking. But anyway, so this is what it's talking about in Romans. The glory was with these people. Now the covenants. Who are the covenants given to? Were they given to the Protestants? How about the Catholics? How about the Mormons? I don't know. Take that off. Okay. So the covenants, we find out that the covenants God made with Abraham, the covenant with Isaac, covenant with God made with Jacob, all the covenants were given to the people of Israel. That's pretty easy to see, right? Now, the giving of the law, who was that given to? Was that given to the Amorites or the Perizzites or the Baptistites or the Methodistites? No. The giving of the law, God met with them where? On Mount Sinai, right? And he gave them the commandments. Remember that? Now, there was a mixed multitude there. Anyone who does this thing called tshuva and joins the people of God, you're allowed to come and be with them. Now, the service of God, who is that given to? Who's the service of God given to? Was it given to the Catholic priests? How about the... where did Catholic priests come from? Or monks? The service of God was given to the Levites. You had to actually be a son of Aaron to be a priest. There's no such thing as a Gentile priest. I mean, I'm talking about Levitically speaking. Like all these priests running around today with the little things on. There's no such thing as a Gentile priest. What are you dressing up like? It's not Halloween. In other words, it's the children of Aaron, his house. They were instructed on how to worship God in the way that would that was pleasing in God's sight. They didn't just go serve the Lord the way they feel like. Nowadays, people do anything. You got people jumping around, falling down, laying down, you know. God has an exact, you know, way to worship him in the beauty of holiness, he says. And here, and you can, and book of Hebrews makes it clear. It's also in the book of Leviticus, of course. Paul says, no man takes this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. You had to be a son of Aaron to be a priest. You couldn't just, so they're the ones who had the service of the tabernacle and the service of the ministry. So that's what I'm getting at is I'm trying to show you every one of these things was given to the Jews. They're not just given to anybody today. If you talk to some Christians today, they think this is to them. No, you have to join the Israel of God, and then maybe it's to you. But if you're just floating out there like a maverick, some satellite, I don't see how that's possible. Now, in the Bible, who did God give the promises to? The heathen? No, he gave it to the people he selected. All the promises were given to the Israel of God, specifically so that they might claim them and walk in them and be the recipients of the blessing of the promise. So they knew if they did right, they'd be blessed. If they did wrong, they'd be cursed. But it was all to them. You got to remember, the children of Israel were a group of people. Everyone else weren't even considered. You might say, well, that's sort of mean. No, no. This is the way God set it up. They were actually sent into countries, take over the land, kill the babies, kill the women, kill everybody, take the land. Now you might say, well, what kind of God is that? Well, what we don't know is God knows every soul. He knows the end of the matter of everyone. He knows what everyone is going to be. He knows their heart. We don't know. You might look at a little baby and go, what a precious little baby. And if time tarried and time went on, there might be Jack the Ripper. I mean, you don't know. You can't know. So what I'm getting at is don't think God just kills babies and women. That's what I'm getting at. And grandmas, and he doesn't just go, I'm just going to wipe people out. People are wicked. Anyway, now what is the verse in Romans? It says, whose are the fathers? What does that mean? It's talking about these holy, righteous men like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great patriarchs of Israel were the Jews. It all pertains to this one family. See, you have to be in this family of God, this one body. You're in the body of the Messiah or you're not. Yeshua says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whether you're the natural branch, the Jews, or if you're the grafted in branch, you're still part of me. So you guys all need to repent and join the Messiah, right? No one's better than anyone else, which we'll find out. Of whom, as concerning the flesh, Messiah, Christ came. In other words, pertaining to the Jews, that's where the Messiah comes from. So people that hate the Jews, then you're hating where your Messiah comes. Like, I can never understand people that hate the Jews, because then they're hating the ancestry, the lineage of where the Messiah, that they go to church every Sunday. Does that make sense? No. It makes no sense. And it's the ancestry of Messiah. The Messiah who would come in the person of Yeshua, Jesus, was revealed to the world through the Jewish people, of course. You know, I'm pretty convinced that's why Satan got all the children convinced that they come from monkeys, because that eliminates the Messiah. That eliminates everything. You don't come from a monkey, do you? Nah. Okay, Psalm 132:11 says, the Lord had sworn in truth unto David. Everybody know who David is? He's the king of Israel, right? And he will not turn from it. Now, this is actually a prophecy about the Messiah. You should know this when you're talking to a Jewish person. This is in Psalms 132:11. It says that of the fruit of David's body, I, the Messiah, will sit upon thy throne. Messiah is going to sit upon the throne of Israel. He is the king of Israel. So I want to let you know the Messiah is from the seed of David, okay? And Revelation says very simply, he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Messiah is from the tribe of Judah. He's the root of David. Like, the reason why I'm bringing this up is I've met people that hate They don't want to believe that Jesus is Jewish. They don't want to believe that Jesus came from David. I mean, you may never came into this.
He was Jewish until he was resurrected.
Yeah, then he changed into Pat Boone with the white buck shoes or something. I don't know. Okay, John 4:9 says, "Then said the woman of Samaria," this is the proof, this lady knew it, she says unto Jesus, Yeshua, she goes, "How is it that thou, being a Jew?" I'm just trying to bring these verses up to show you that, I mean, it's everywhere in the Bible. I only picked a few verses that he is the Jew, okay? Some people hate that. And I love to say this verse, and he's over all. He is God blessed forever. Amen. Now, going back to Romans, huh? You have, huh? I didn't know that. God knows that. What advantage has the Jew? So what is the advantage of being a Jew? What is that? Or what profit is there of circumcision? What do we have to do that for? What's that all about? Well, Apostle Paul says, much every way, chiefly because unto them, the Jews, were committed the oracles of God. They were the keepers of the covenant, keeper of the commandments, keeper of the service of God, the ones that you're supposed to go listen to instead of the ones that don't study and they just made up a religion. Now, but I do want to make sure you do understand, even though everything's from the Jews, God is still no respecter of persons, because being a Jew doesn't give you a license into heaven. I mean, it doesn't give you a free pass. You don't get free tickets. You still got to do good, right? Because there's some Jews today that they're not of God. You understand that, right? That's in Galatians 2:6. And this is something that's very important. You know something? Having the right opportunities and sometimes having the right information does not guarantee people will make the right choices. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you might think sometimes when you're reading the Bible, here's the Israelites. I mean, we have the glory of God filling the tabernacle, the tent, the cloud, the fire by night, the Red Sea, water coming out of the rock. You got all this stuff happening. Opens the earth, swallows up Dathan and Abiram. I mean, like, what? I mean, you can't even imagine splitting the Red Sea and a million people going through it. And, the water's like this on the side of you. And you're like, and then they still sin. They still forsake God. So God, sometimes, having all these things, there's no guarantee people are going to make the right choices. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, 12 and 13 says, Peter, and when Peter saw it, he answered and he said, "You men of Israel." Remember in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and 2, it says all the Jews came from all around the world. They came to a feast there, okay? And all the Jews there were in the book of Acts. A lot of the Pentecostals, they all think that's where the Pentecostal church started, in the book of Acts, chapter 1. That's not, no, those were all Jews going there to the Feast of the Lord. The Feast of Weeks, right. But if you're not in the reading the Torah and the Tanakh, then you don't even know why all the Jews were there. It says from every nation. And Peter's calling them men of Israel. He's saying, "Why marvel at this? Why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our power or holiness we have made this man to walk?" Peter just said, "Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers. See, it's all about being in this family of the Jews. He doesn't say the God of the fathers of somebody else. No, it's the God of our fathers. In Acts 3:26, unto you. Now, here's something that is totally misinterpreted. Peter says to these Jews, he says, "Unto you first, God." Unto the Jews first, God, having raised up his son, Yeshua, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So everything was given to the Jews first. Okay? Now, the church has got this mixed up. They think that where it says it was to the Jews first and to the Gentiles second, that doesn't mean if there's a Jew here and a Gentile here, you go to the Jew. That doesn't mean that. It's talking about everything was given to the Jews first. Do you understand the difference of what I'm saying? Okay? Romans 1:16, and I'll show you why, because it says right here, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." And this gospel, this message of truth, was given to the Jew first, and then, of course, we bring it to the Greeks. And God's going to render to every man according to his deeds, no matter who you are. Okay? Now, the thing you want rendered to your deeds, it says, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them, which I hope it's us, who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Right? It says, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth. Note, it says, but obey unrighteousness. What they get indignation and wrath. Okay? Now, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. And guess what? It's to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. So you never hear the church, you never hear anyone saying that. Yeah, the Jews get punished first too because they're the ones supposed to know. They're the ones that are supposed to be showing the other people of the world, the nations. They're supposed to be showing the nations that God was with us and God gave us the oracles and God gave us the commandments and God gave us the way to walk and God gave us everything and we're supposed to be the example and being showing you guys what to do, but we all fell away because everything of the world was more enticing. Everything just looked a little bit better. Why do we have to leave Egypt for? It was great there. Now, but glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, the Jew first and also to the Gentile. In other words, it was to the Jew first and to the Gentile. In other words, we all heard the word of God. There's no respect of persons with God. You guys, I want to make sure you understand those verses right. In other words, it isn't like God favors anybody over anybody else because he just favors you if you're on his side and does what he says. I mean, you can go... Let's put it this way. We were in Israel. There's a bunch of Jews there. They don't care about God. You think God cares about them? But at the same time, come against them because you don't know who the election is. You don't know who the remnant is. And this is very interesting. Now, this verse is in many parts of the Bible. Did you know the last shall be first? And the first shall be last. For many are called, but only few chosen. That's an interesting verse. In other words, sometimes the people that you think that should have got it right first, they don't, but they'll be last. The children of the kingdom will be cast out. That's because if you reject the Messiah, whoever you are, you will be cast out. Now, if you're one of these people like us, you have this person after you, his name is Satan, and in the Bible depicts him as the dragon. He's wrought with the woman, this woman who brought forth the Israel of God, you know, and he went forth to make war with the remnant of her seed. We're the remnant of her seed because we're the ones who keep the commandments of God and we have the testimony of Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. So when you forget about the devil, he didn't forget about you. When you, like your mind spins off into something else, he's ready to throw something in that mind. He don't miss anything. He's got way more experience on tricking us than you could imagine. He's got like thousands of years of experience. And it's the same bag of tricks he plays on everybody. It's not like something different. It's the same trick. You say, well, that hit me today. I never thought of that. But it hits everybody. It says, moreover, whom God did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. You know, in God's mind, everything is predestinated. What that means is it's already done. He already knows what everyone's going to do. Just think, could you imagine that? Could you imagine knowing already everything, it's over? See, when he was on the cross, remember he said, it is finished. Remember that? It really is. It's finished. That was it. He probably looked out into eternity. He can see everything that happened. It's finished. Yeah, John Calvin got these few verses about predestinating, turned it into a whole different concept of predestination, meaning we are predestinated, like we already are, you know, you don't even have to worry about salvation because you're either you're chosen or you're not. The only problem is with that is, how do you know? How do you know? You might be not chosen. No, that's why I'm saying anything that veers off. Take John Calvin. He's not Jewish. Why would I listen to him? He's not of the Israel of God. Why would I listen to him? He might have some good things to say, I'm sure, but he made up some little doctrine that everyone thinks that... I don't even understand the predestinating doctrine, because how would you ever know? How do you know? I mean, that's like a almost like a silly cuckoo doctrine. It's pride. How do you know? We just said by well doing and continuance and long suffering, we're seeking for immortality, eternal life. It's a continuing he that endures to the end. I mean, we're all here today reading Bible, seeking the Lord and trying to get something from God. We hope next week we're doing the same thing. We hope 2 months from now we're doing the same thing. Because this adversary, the devil, is relentless. He's not going to quit until we're... Matter of fact, he would love to X you out of the picture. You know why? Because everyone here is valuable. Everyone here is a testimony for God. Yeah.
By the way, about last Sabbath, I was reading the dictionary. I'm sorry I was being rude.
That's okay. You can read the dictionary anytime you want. That's okay. Oh, no. No, just don't read it when we're talking, because you might miss something. Yeah, I mean, read the dictionary. Make sure you read the right dictionary. That, a little conviction on that is good. Okay, Romans 11, 1 to 2 says, it says, I say then, had God cast away his people, like the church people say? Did God cast away his people? God forbid. He says, for I am an Israelite. Here I am. Look, he didn't cast away me. I'm right here, the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. God had not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Don't you guys remember? I mean, if you could measure the heavens and measure the earth beneath, that's when he'll cast them away. If you can count every star and every drop of sand in the seashore, which you never could do. It says, what ye not what the scripture has say of Elias? How he make it intercession to God against Israel, saying, this is Elijah. He goes, Lord, they've killed thy prophets. They've digged down thine altars, and I'm left alone, and they seek my life. He thought he was the only guy left. I feel like that too. But you know something? Here's what God says. But what saith the answer of God unto him? And this is something you don't want. That's why you don't want to come against anybody, and you don't want to come against the Jews. He said, I have reserved to myself 7,000 which have not bowed their knee to the image of Baal. So even to this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. This is where we started from when we started. So don't ever try to come against the Jews or Israel.
Those 7,000, is that alive, dead? Is it, you don't know?
I don't know that. Okay. I know the number 7 is very significant. God always uses that. I don't know, you know, if that's just that's. I don't know if that's like, I hate to use the word metaphorically or you know, symbolically, or I don't know. But what God is trying to say, don't ever think that no one's left. God has reserved people around this world. You may not know who they are at this moment. One day they'll be plugged in, and they'll come alive.
Amen.
That's what's going to happen. Now, if it's by grace, then it's no more by works. In other words, we're all saved by the grace of God, by faith. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. In other words, if you have to do something to get saved, then it's called works. No, we're just saved by faith through grace. We repent on the spot, and you ask the Lord to come into your heart, and don't do it again. So otherwise, if it's by works, it's no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. In other words, what can you do to ever get saved? I mean, you can't buy, if you bought all the Girl Scout cookies in the world, that ain't going to save you. otherwise work is no more work. That's what that means. What then? Had Israel, it says, Israel had not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election had obtained it, and the rest were blinded. You know, the rest were blinded because there's an election. Think of the apostles. They're all Jewish. All the prophets were Jewish. This, all the first, the 7,000, the 3,000, they're Jewish. This is in Israel. They all accepted the Messiah. A lot of people think that Jews never accepted the Messiah, that's going to happen in the future. It's been happening all through time. Mm-hmm. You may not hear about them because if you talk about Jews, the first thing you're going to think about is Judaism. But there's plenty of Jews around the world that believe in the Messiah, even in Israel. In Matthew 15, 12, 14, it says, "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard these things?" And Jesus, he just answered, he said, "Every plant that my heavenly Father had not planted shall be rooted up." He says, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they're both going to fall in the ditch." Now, even though there's a remnant according to the election of grace, there's also, "Woe unto you, you blind guides. Woe unto you, you fools and blind." This is Matthew 23. "Woe unto you, blind." They're blind. "You blind guides. You blind Pharisees." David, and here's what David said. Listen to what David says. He said, "Let their table be a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway." That sounds pretty drastic. King David saying this. So Paul says, "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid." See, God has such a big plan, but rather through their fall, salvation now is come unto the nations, the Gentiles. And now the Gentiles are supposed to become, join the people of God and provoke them to jealousy. Not by doing Christmases and Easters and Easter bunnies, and not by doing all kinds of goofy little things that you're not making no one jealous. They're laughing at you. Now, let me tell you something. If the fall of, remember, only a few of these guys were blinded, not everybody. It says, "Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of these Jews, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness when God plugs them back in again?" So Paul's talking to the Gentiles. He's talking to the Romans. He says, "I speak to you Gentiles, insomuch as I'm an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." He says, if I by any means might provoke to emulation them which are my flesh," which means the Jews, "and might save some of them." He's trying to wake them up. He says, "For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be? Life from the dead?" In other words, they're the natural branches. What happens when they start getting it? That Isaiah told the truth about the Messiah. Zechariah said the thing about the Messiah. Moses said, "The prophet shall the Lord raise up unto you like unto me of your brethren, him shall you hear." What happens when the Jews start getting it? You're going to see people on fire. Maybe that's why these guys seem on fire, these Jews that start accepting the Messiah. They seem like, "That guy's overboard. Or that guy's just a little bit too fanatical." No, it's a natural branch being plugged in. How much more their fullness? It says, "If the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches," not all of them, "be broken off, and you Gentiles," it says, "being a wild olive tree, you were grafted in among them, and with them you partakest of the root, which is holy, and the fatness of the olive tree," which is the Messiah. "You Protestants, boast not against the branches. Don't think you took over. But if you boast," it says, "thou bearest not the root, but the root bears you." And he's from the line of the tribe of Judah. He's from Israel. "Don't you boast." You might say, "Well, the branches, the Jews were broken off, and I went to the divinity school, and I graduated seminary, that I might be grafted in." Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you standing by faith right now, be not high-minded, but fear. Don't be high-minded. You know why? Because if God, there's no eternal security. If God didn't spare the natural branches, take heed lest he spare not thee. Yeah. If God didn't even spare his own people, the only family he knew of the earth, who do you think you are? You're just of the nations. Don't be high-minded. You better start being a little more humble. Maybe pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for Israel, because the remnant is around. There's one here, two there, one over there, one over there. And they might be all little fireballs. They, you know, sometimes they get too overboard. Sometimes you can get too gone. Well, it says, behold, therefore, the goodness and the... Now, we have the goodness. This is what people don't understand. And the severity of God. There's always two sides to a coin. On them which fell, you've seen the severity. You understand that? There's two sides. The ones that fell is severity. But toward thee, at this moment, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, you Romans. Otherwise, what? You'll be cut off. And you know what? And they also, these people that were weasels, if they abide still not in unbelief, they should be grafted in too. For God's able to graft them in again. He could take the natural branches and plug them back in. A lot of the churches don't, they just think Israel's forsaken. There's actually some ministers that are really strong on that too. They actually think that the church replaced Israel. Unbelievable. Yeah, Paul is making this so clear. And they also, if they believe, they abide still and not in unbelief, they shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou, now listen to this, if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, right? And it, let's say, and that you guys took, well, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own tree? And then Paul just makes it clear. After all these scenarios and analogies, and he says, look, look, everybody, I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you go make up something of your own accord, lest you be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part... Not everybody, blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, until all the people, the nations come in. And then all Israel will be saved. These are obviously the remnant, the ones that are called. It doesn't mean everybody in Israel. It means the remnant according to the election of grace, the called. Okay, that's what that's talking about. You can go back to verse 5 of Romans and see that. So it says, now to make sure you understand, I put down Romans 9, 6, and 7. For they're not all Israel which are of Israel. Paul says that. So when all Israel will be saved, it's not just everybody that's there, because a lot of people there are not going to accept the Lord. Neither because they're the seed of Abraham are they children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, which is Israel. For this is the covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Now, one thing you should remember, as concerning the gospel, as concerning the Messiah, some Jews, they're gonna be enemies for your sakes. They're going to be enemies. Okay? But don't let that bother you. But as touching the election, and you don't know who the election is, according to the grace, they're beloved for the Father's sake. Do you understand that? Yeah, there's some Jews out there hate, if you believe in Jesus, they want to get you. I'm not kidding. And this is the verse I was telling you earlier. This is pertaining to the Jews. For the gifts, the adoption, the commandments, the giving of the law, the service of the tabernacle, the gifts and the calling of God is without repentance. God always has his people. They're going to be, they're not going anywhere. There's going to be an election according to the grace that is given. You know, in times past, for ye in times past have not believed God, right? Remember this long time ago when there was no God in your life? You just went, you just did, just lived your life. It was me, 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 I, what I'm going to do. In times past, you didn't believe God, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so, have these also now not believed, that through your mercy, they also may obtain mercy. You know what? This is so beautiful. God had concluded all in unbelief. You know why? That he might have mercy upon all. What a plan. I never would have thought of that. Paul expresses it so wonderfully. He goes, oh, the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. How could we ever try to figure out what God's trying to do? I mean, who would ever know that? It says, for who had known the mind of the Lord, who had been his counselor, who had first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So, you know, I just praise the Lord we could be here today. So I say, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Don't ever count anybody out. The Lord is the one who cuts everyone off. Make sure you understand you have to be in the Israel of God. Become the people of God. There's one body. There's one way to walk. There's one law, one ordinance. There's one everything. You know, I don't know how to express that in so many words. But this is all from the fathers, all from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all the Bible, all these people God selected, they didn't just elect themselves. Matter of fact, God says in the Bible, you haven't chosen me. I have chosen you and ordained you. It's not like one day we decided to pick God. We're here for a reason. Who knows? I don't know why, but we're here. Anyway, praise the Lord. So make sure you don't think that the church replaced Israel. And anyone who tells you that, tell them that they haven't read Romans lately. They haven't talked to Brother Paul. They need to go have a meeting with Paul. Praise the Lord. We're going to stop here. God bless.